today on Compassion Radio.
Their innocence lets them grab hold of the truths of Scripture and believe it and act on it. It's just amazing to watch.
Have you ever known somebody from Afghanistan? Hi, Bram Floria here with Compassion Radio. We're the daily radio journal that takes you to the front lines of faith. And we do it for a reason. Others might have a morbid fascination with the suffering of others, but we're all about capturing the amazing stories of God's people doing extraordinary things in extraordinary circumstances. And no country on earth right now qualifies better for that designation than Afghanistan. What is the small community of believers there facing in the wake of the Taliban's resurgence and stunning military victory? Well, today's guest knows a thing or two because she's seen a thing or two. Today and tomorrow, she'll share it all with us. Thanks for joining us today.
A lot's been going on in the world the past couple of weeks. Not always so encouraging or cheerful, but they've been important stories to tell. But there are some God moments happening in these stories, and Sheer Nelson, our chairman of the board at Compassion Radio, is here to tell us a little bit more about what's going on in two countries that are of great note and interest to us because we've had relationships there for a long time. We'll talk about that in a second, but first of all, Sheer, welcome back to the air.
Thank you. Delightful to be part of it.
We've talked a lot about the history of Compassion Radio, what led to the changes that became Life at Its Best for a while, and then eventually Compassion Radio, which I now sit in this chair to follow your illustrious husband, Norm Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
You have the record in your heart and your mind, and we need to dip into that from time to time to get our hearts warmed again to the things of God, because we've been there to see how it affects things in a positive way. It's not been a real positive week for you, has it?
No, it hasn't, Bram. Because of our many trips to Afghanistan and some of the friendships that we've been able to maintain, we lost many because their emails were discontinued or various problems with communication. But the ones that we were still in contact with have been in great trouble trying to get out of the country.
Mm.
I have been able to tap many of our sources that we have known over the years. Fortunately, have both that we were trying to help out, one in Doha, one in Qatar. But the situation is not a whole lot better where they are. Their lives are not in danger, but they're now in refugee camps that, as we know and as many of our listeners know, are anything but pleasant. When you have 1,000 people crammed into a large UN tent with no facilities, with long lines for water and food, and no idea of when they'll be out, things are not pleasant, but at least their lives are not in danger.
I know that right now, because they're in limbo, that we need to be talking in pseudonyms for them, so you can make up some names for them, Chair. But I do want to know specifically about the story of how you met these young people, what they were involved with, and why it was so important at the time you and Norm traveled to Afghanistan. And because of that encounter between you and these young people there, created a ray of hope and a vision for a future of the country that was unexpected, and you got to see it bud at the time, and it led to years of education and dedication to their country. And now this crisis, which has left them devastated because the work of their hands seems to have been ripped out of their hands. But tell me a little bit more about why these particular people are so meaningful, are so important to your heart.
Well, as you know, we taught in both Mazar-e-Sharif, which is in the north, and in Kabul. Our Korean contacts that helped us get into the country to minister had already established relationships there. But the young people that were in our English classes, Bram, they were so hopeful, so excited. So this was right after America had begun their work there. And so supposedly the Taliban was going to end and there was going to be great freedom in the country. And these young people saw themselves as the generation that was going to transform Afghanistan.
Mm.
They were eager, they were excited, they wanted to learn anything that they could, and which was amazing. We had both girls and guys in our classes, which had never happened before.
And that was a mixed class as well.
Right. Well, the girls were actually able to go into the universities and then be in a mixed class. And some of the girls were amazing. They had been taught underground for years by teachers who had gone underground and did not want the girls to lose any opportunity for education. And this one young gal was determined that she was going to be the prime minister. Mm-hmm. And I think had things not changed, she probably would have been. She was amazing. But these two young people that we knew had great aspirations for changing things. These are the two that we're still in contact with. One went into law and one went into engineering. And I can't tell you what they have done in the country, but they did amazing things to change the situation there and have been so hopeful, so driven to make things different. And now are both in refugee camps, having had to run for their lives because of what they've done. So the young people that we were with, if anybody out there has taught young people in any situation, you know how they get into your heart.
Yeah. And after getting into your skin, probably.
Yeah, sometimes. One of the young men who came to us and confidentially confided to us that he was a believer and showed us the Bible that he had sewn into his overcoat that he carried with him all the time, was killed 2 years later after the last time that we saw him. It was believed that it was because he was a believer. But we couldn't put that on the air because we could not confirm that that was actually why he was killed. But he was so delighted to meet another believer from outside the country that could take the story back to share that there were believers there and that they were working for the Lord and pleased to ask for prayer for them.
Sharon, let me hang on that thought for 1 second, because we're going to be asking you to guide us as this conversation evolves in ways that we can be proactively involved with helping. And there's not a lot of helping to be done directly with people who are in the middle of flight. Most relief work and stuff happens when they land at some rock or shoal somewhere and a camp emerges, or when they're taken in by another country and the relief work begins through international agencies. And we've done lots of that work. But during the time in between, while the chaos is erupting around us, there are still things the body of Christ, the kingdom around the world, can and should be doing. So I want you to speak to that as we go along, about the kind of things especially we can be praying for people like these young people you met and had mentored 20 years ago. So don't be afraid to pepper the conversation a bit with what you think we should be doing and how we can be remembering these people to the Father right now.
You know, Brian, I don't think there's ever been a situation that's been as difficult as this, because all of the relief agencies are gone from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So any of the Christian organizations, any of the pure relief organizations have either been driven out or had to flee. So this is the one situation where we can't raise funds, we can't supply necessary help for them.
And not to spend in country, of course. We're talking about when we can do it. It's probably going to be in international refugee camps outside the borders of Afghanistan for now. And Dr. Jennings talked a lot about what's going on currently in the countries around there, help get some context in what the rest of the countries from Pakistan to Iran to Iraq are facing as they look toward Afghanistan. There are projects that are active. We're going to get involved with those soon.
There are. But that's what I was going to say. At this moment, what we can do for the people in country is pray. And I know it's frustrating for so many of us to feel like we should be doing something. And God willing, we will be able to. But let me just give you a couple stories of what we have confirmed. Now, let me also say there are unbelievable stories going around on the internet right now that are not true. Mm. There's enough awful things happening within the country to pray about, but before you disseminate any information that has come to you, please, please trace down the source and see whether it's accurate. There's one particular story going around right now about 229 missionaries that are going to be executed today. This is a rehash and a rehash and a rehash of several other false reports of things that were going on in Afghanistan.
Over many years.
This is what we know. One Afghan believer has said, "How we survive daily, only God knows. But he knows because he has been kind to dwell with us. Mm. But we're tired of all the death around us."
Yeah.
What they're asking for is to help them be faithful. There are between 2,000 and 4,000 Christians in Afghanistan. That's the estimate.
That are actively pursuing their faith.
Mm-hmm. Among those, there were a group of about 500 who went to the country about 2 years ago and registered, changing their ID cards to profess Christianity as their religious view.
Wow.
Now, this is basically a death sentence.
Yeah. You're signing your own death warrant at that point.
Yeah. It was dangerous enough at that point when the Taliban was not in control, but they knew And this is the reason that they did it. They knew that things were bound to change when America pulled out. What they did was say, we want to be recognized as standing for our faith, for our children and for our children's children, to say to them, we were not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We wanted to be identified with him, and we want our children to have that background and that platform to stand on so that they can be strong in their faith too.
Before you go on with that, I want to just highlight how that contrasts to some people here in America or other Western countries that stake a claim on rights and declare themselves to be Christians and make demands of their governments to protect them from people who don't like them. And they see that as being equivalent to what you just said about people registering with the government as Christians and literally signing their own death warrants by saying so, that only God himself could literally save their lives from the grip of the oppressors. And they realize that. There's a defiance against evil in that, but there's not a defiance of their own countrymen or their country in that. And I see that in the West, it seems to be exactly the opposite. There seems to be a spirit of defiance that's rising up within people in the church that is not connected with ultimate sacrifice and being willing to lay down your life for Christ, but be willing to take up a sword in offense to others who seem to be attacking your way of life. I can't make a more stark contrast than that, but I think it's really true that that spirit is alive and well in America and other Western countries of defiance. And the call again to biblical willingness to lay on your life like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the early Christians facing the Roman Empire, to be willing to lay down your life, not to take up arms against it, the state, but to be willing to say to the state, the power that reigns within me is eternal and it is transcendent. It is even bigger than you can imagine, and yet we stay with you. Just flesh that out for a second before we move on.
Well, yes, you're exactly right, Bram, but let me tell you something else that emphasizes your point. That yes, they are asking for God to strengthen them and make them faithful and that they would stay strong in the Lord, who is their sovereign king. But they're also begging us to pray for the Taliban.
Yeah, that's true.
They're standing on the fact that we need to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. They're saying, we know what God did for us, so we know what he can do for them. They're praying for the gift of grace that the Taliban could be saved. Now, we look at the situation and say, you know, the probability is probably close to zero of their conversion. Yeah. But that's not the way they feel.
No.
They want the Taliban to see Isa as they know our Jesus for who he is and what he has done for us. We hate them for what they're doing, but they don't know anything different. If we had been raised in the same situation, being taught the same dogma that they have been taught all of their lives, we might be right with them.
Yeah.
They are trying to bring their kingdom on earth, and they believe that they eventually will conquer all nations and that we all will come under their belief.
Mm.
But the Afghan Christians believe that the only way this can change is if they meet their Savior, their Lord, their Jesus.
Well, God is not a God of America. He is the Savior and the Lord of Americans that call to him. So it's the power of the testimony of a living faith within any country that gives it spiritual power and God's blessing, I believe. I do not believe that God chooses nations in the modern era to say, they're my people, you are not. And even Israel as a political entity is not the Israel, I believe, that the Bible is saying is his. It is the people that respond to his spirit, that he has imprinted his personality, his person of Jesus into their hearts, that is the true Israel. And we, as Christians, believe that really is it. We enter into what is the true Israel by letting him into our hearts.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build kingdom around the world. This year, we had the great privilege of celebrating our 78th anniversary in broadcast ministry. It's hard to believe that we've been on the air for almost 80 years. And in that time, of course, we've seen tremendous changes in the world. For most of that time, 74 years in fact, this ministry was in the steady hands of two solid men of God. Both amazing Bible teachers, visionaries, and committed to seeing a redemptive worldview truly transform the world. Both Wilbur and Norm Nelson stretched their faith and the faith of their listening partners by urging them to not just listen, but to act on their faith. They inspired people just like you to take seriously God's call to build His kingdom around the world and to do it in ways proven to make a lasting difference. When no one else would go after the Korean War, Wilbur and Norm built orphanages and schools in Korea and Hong Kong, making it possible for generations of kids to experience the true gospel and, over time, transform their countries. Later, Norm and Cher set off on some great adventures to see how far the gospel could really go, bringing Bibles to the underground church in China and Vietnam. They brought food and medical supplies into North Korea during one of their worst famines. They brought Christmas to school children in Afghanistan after the first Taliban defeat. They visited refugee camps in dozens of countries and helped supply the amazing Christians, keeping bodies and hope alive. And in the process, living out the true religion that James talks about in his epistle. Friends, today we remain true to that vision, even at a time when COVID has shut down so many avenues we would normally use to gather stories and supply our kingdom family. We are prayerfully pursuing new opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Our God is a God in the storm, and the world needs us now. As Compassion Radio, we're building out the plan as fast as we prudently can, and we're trusting that God will provide for the operational needs of this ministry through you as we do it. As Wilbur Nelson put it decades ago, when there's a need, seek God and tell His people. We're doing both. If you've never supported this ministry before, I'm asking you to do what you can today to make sure that we can get through 2021 with you and on to the kingdom things He has for us in the days to come. If you have supported us in the past, please hear me when I say you are deeply appreciated and honored in our prayers each and every day. Thank you for what you have done and what you will do to keep Compassion Radio on the air and in the arena. Please don't hesitate to give us a call or drop us a line today. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478. Our website is also available 24/7 to make your gift online. It's also the best way to catch up on any episodes you've missed. You can even share programs with your friends and family. To send your gift by mail, you can use the following address: Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you for your partnership with Compassion Radio. We look forward to hearing from you today. And now, back to the program.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
This is it. We enter into what is the true Israel by letting Him into our hearts. So when we look at Afghanistan, I'm not praying that God will become the God of the Taliban, which is the group, the entity, the political structure, the rulers of Afghanistan now. But He would become the savior of the Talib, which are the people that are the foot soldiers, are the bureaucrats, are the cooks, are the money pushers within a regime. Those Talib, which live within the Taliban, are the ones that God is seeking out.
I am absolutely right, Bram. It truly is the only answer. Now, how much faith do we as Americans have to pray for that? Hmm. How much more do we want vengeance against them?
Yeah.
But that's God's business. We have a responsibility, first of all, to pray because we're commanded to, but secondly, to support the Christians and what they are asking us to pray for. One of the interesting things about the evacuations is that Albania and Kosovo are accepting refugees to take in.
Now, oh, that's fascinating.
Not too many years ago, we were in Kosovo and Albania when the war was going on there with the Islamists against the Serbians.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to see the turnaround. And since that war ended and church has been able to flourish again, many things have big change in those countries. And now here they are accepting refugees from Afghanistan who are fleeing the way they had to flee not too many years ago.
I got to unpack that for a second, because we saw, and the world was witnessing, a regime which was the Serbian government, which was the inheritors of the old Yugoslavia, insisting they were fighting a holy war against the infidels and were attacking Muslim communities within their own country, which were in Kosovo, and then further down the chain, just outside the borders in Albania. They crushed them for years. Mm-hmm. And America actually put an end to that aggression by the regime that claimed to be Christian, saying they were doing God's work because they could see the suffering on the ground, and America rose up righteously and said, no, these are human beings who are your own citizens. You don't do this to them. And we ended a war, and it's the only war in our American history where not American life was lost. Only time it's ever happened.
We still have hundreds of troops there.
And we do. There's a friendship that has grown. Now, as you say, the Christian church rebutted and actually moved in to love their neighbors and to create bridges like never before. And now those countries that were so oppressed and so crushed by Christian nations are turning around looking at the refugees coming out of Afghanistan and saying, we will extend to you the grace we have been shown. We were saved so we can save you. That's the attitude I'm seeing in this. And it's the Christians within that are motivating a lot of this. And then, of course, the Muslim community say there are lots of Muslim refugees. We must rise up to help them as well. But the ethic of love has grown in these countries because of that change. Mm-hmm. Now, I see an interesting irony in that Albania, Kosovo, will be reaching out to bring in refugees from Afghanistan that are both Christian and Muslim. Mm-hmm. What an interesting intersection of the faiths again.
Absolutely. It's just astounding what God can bring about in places that we think have been and are hopeless.
Or forsaken, yeah.
But there are many Christians in the government in those places now.
Yes.
So even though they were not necessarily on the good side of things in the past, mm-hmm. are apparently seeing that there's another way to go about things in the world and bringing in people who are desperate and struggling. Now, it's interesting that the Russian and China embassies have not closed nor taken out their personnel from Afghanistan. Mm. They feel perfectly safe. Yeah. However, neither country is doing anything for the refugees.
Right. Interesting twist there. And it is frustrating to me to think about the vacuum that we create for ourselves every time we panic and run. But I'm not going to second guess the ground decisions being made by diplomats who have given their lives for dozens of years to try to produce a safe haven of ideas, of law, of rights and things for all the people of Afghanistan. If they got to go and they're ordered out, I don't begrudge them one bit that they're doing this, but their hearts have got to be broken through this.
Bram, I want to tell you a little story about a congregation in Afghanistan, made up mostly of women, meeting in a dark cave. Our military had sometimes provided off-duty cover for their 45-minute walk along a footpath that leads from the village to the cave where they met. These were women who had been evangelized by other Christian women, but even though they had found Jesus, they had, if not full Bibles, at least portions of the Bibles to study, but they wanted to meet together. They understood from Scripture that meeting together was important. So they would walk this 45-minute walk to get there, going in twos and threes to look like they were either going to market or running an errand. Once they were inside, they had only the light of the cell phone to meet by. They took the SIM card out of their phone so that they couldn't be tracked, and used the flashlight to read Scripture together. The Psalms, they said, were their favorite. So many passages were written when King David, too, was in danger and on the run, and he, like them, was hiding in a cave. And they met there to pray for each other. They sang softly. One of them was learning choruses. We have no idea how, but was learning choruses to teach the others, and sort of serving as an unplanned pastor, but she had the access to bring other materials and other music along. But they wanted some instruments, and they had no access to them. So they took water bottles and filled them with about an inch of rice and used them as shakers for rhythm to sing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they had to sing very quietly, but would we do this? Would we take our lives in danger to walk 45 minutes out of town to a cave to huddle by the light of a cell phone to read psalms to each other and sing choruses quietly and make rhythm instruments out of water bottles and rice? I mean, would we even think about that in America?
That's a modern-day catacomb story.
It truly is.
Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478. 2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.